And he said, we are anxious for the Magi to come, even if we have to cause the chaos. That doesn't sound too good, does it? As a country, probably, with some of these super bombs that they're building now, they've probably pretty well got the same equipment now. What's going to happen? Beloved, today I want you to see reality from God's point of view. He has put you on this earth to become an expression of what He is. I think I told you yesterday, I'm going to tell you again. I have told God that it is my desire to live on this planet long enough to be able to walk down the street and do what Jesus did. I don't mean in church meetings like this to call somebody out that's sick and pray for them. I'm talking about just walking down the street and touching anybody that has a problem. Of being able to walk into one of our big hospitals, particularly starting in the cancer ward, and walking through there and touching every person that's supposed to be dying of cancer and help them to walk out down the street.
Yes.
That's my desire, because I know that that is God's will and purpose for us on the earth today. We're not Christians just so we can go to heaven when we die. We're not Christians just so God can give us an easy time, you know, and when the bombs start to fall or whatever happens or some war starts, that God's going to protect us. We're here on this planet today to cause the evil that's in the world now, and when I use the word evil, I mean that which is not of God, to be able to stop that thing. And we can do it. If we only could live out of the Christ of our being. Whatever you touch by the Spirit is going to change something. Whatever you touch. But we've got to start up here with our thinking, which is not exactly correct thinking yet. There's a heart, there is a mind in here, which is the mind of the Christ. Yes. And that mind of the Christ tells me that God wants you and I to express this Christ. Yes. That our neighbors, our friends, and our enemies, if you like, are going to know that you and I are different and that we have come from God. We've come from God.
Amen.
So this is serious business.
Yes, it is.
And that's why I have chosen to share these things with you today. This is your anniversary. 30 years you've had church here. How many people in Benton have been changed? How many people in Benton no, you people come from God. You understand? I'm not putting you down. I want you to start to think in terms of the Spirit of God and what is the reality for us. So it says here then that when God sent Christ into this world, when the Father sent his Son down to this earth, it was for a special reason, because we didn't know who we were. So God actually sent down somebody who could stand up there and say, listen folk, this is who you are. Are you hearing this? So when you read the New Testament, you read Jesus touched the blind man's eyes and he could see and all these things. He comes to a man at the pool of Bethesda, 38 years he's laying there. He couldn't scratch himself. And Jesus says, pick up your bed and go home. Come on, this is the reality. And I'm not just preaching at you, I'm sharing my own heart's desire. I'm sharing the thoughts that are in my mind. I want this. I want it with all of my heart.
Yes.
And I believe that we are going to see it.
Yes. Amen.
For if there is not a start in this process of you and I becoming an expression of the Christ, not telling people Christ is in me, because they can't see that, they can't see him in here, and unless there's an expression of him, unless there's something that happens in my life that I can cause because I am living out of that Christ, nothing's going to change on this earth. Now, we've got some big churches, you've got some big ones here in America, you know, up to 30,000 people. I don't know how they get them all in, but anyway, they have quite a number of sessions on Sunday for their crowd, and then for the rest, they buy the discs and then they can sit at home and have church anyway. But you see, with all of the numbers of so-called Christians, we should have taken over the world by now. But we haven't done it. So, these are the important things that I believe God is wanting to do something about. If we go back again just to the beginning for just another moment, just to replenish your mind, to bring you back to this beginning, verse 26 of chapter 1, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. That's an interesting word, have dominion. God gave us dominion over everything except mankind. He never gave us dominion over mankind, but everything else. He said, you've got dominion over the fish of the sea. I tell you, I was a fisherman when I was younger, and I used to read that and say, God, you have to help me here. I'm supposed to, these little critters down there, I'm supposed to have authority over them, but I couldn't get them on my hook, you know. So I said, God, you have to help me here. Well, I'm not sure that was right, but I was just young then. The fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth. That means the tsunamis, that means the earthquakes, that means the storms, the cyclones, hurricanes, whatever you call them. We are to have authority over all of them. One day, some of you people are going to walk right up into the face of that hurricane, and you're going to put up your hand or whatever you want to do and say, peace be still. You're not coming any further.
Amen.
And it will stop.
Amen.
It will stop. Beloved, this is the reality that we're looking for. It's over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him. So, if this is the truth, and it is, then that means that you and I have a lot going for us, and there's a lot to do yet. A lot to do. So when that woman took the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that caused a real upset almost in the plan of God. Did it? No, I don't think so. You see, before God made the man, there was a plan in his mind, in the mind of God. And God had purposed many things. He knew every one of you that would be here today. God knew every one of you. And he knows all about you. He knows where you live. He knows your friends. And he knows what you have done. Beloved, we belong to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. And Christ is our true identity. So in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, let's go back here. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. That answers it pretty well, doesn't it? You're all one in Christ. Now go back to verse 27, the one before it. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How do you get baptized into Christ? Well, some churches that say, well, because we baptize you into the name of Jesus Christ, not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, I said, that's how you do it. That's how you get baptized into Christ. He said, yeah, that's how you do it. I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. I don't know whether you know or not. It doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you. To be baptized into Christ is to die upon that cross when Jesus Christ went there to pay for all of those things that perhaps we may have done, but to fulfill the will and purpose of God, and then to die, and then to be buried in the tomb, and on the third day to walk out the other end, a new creation man. I want to tell you, the death, burial, and resurrection, we probably talk about this tomorrow, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you know what was the purpose of that? What God had in mind? It was to bring forth a new creation people with no connection to life before the cross. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. God's purpose in the death, the burial, and the resurrection, God's purpose was that he could bring forth in this manner a new creation people. Amen. That is, to function according to how we were created in the beginning. Beloved, this is the reality. And for some reason, many of us have missed these things, understanding them. But it's the truth. I want you to be baptized into Christ. So we're not going to be Christians that just talk about being a Christian, or wearing a t-shirt which says on the back, I love God, or I'm a Christian, or whatever, you know. Because we have a lot of the teenagers, that's what they like. They like to do that. And they think that's impressing the world. I don't think so. It just makes fun, in some cases, it just makes fun of the whole thing. So, Adam's body changed when that woman took the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam's body changed. Because at that time, having taken and eaten the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam, being Christ, knew exactly what would happen if he had done nothing. Why? Because the first man came out of God. Every other man on the face of this earth has come out of a woman. And the woman is the one that has gone into the transgression. She is the one that has taken the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not Adam. He never even thought about going near that tree. And we don't know how long Adam was in that garden. He could have been there for a million years. We don't know. And he never once thought about touching that tree. Why? Because he was in love with the Father. And love was the only condition that he lived in the garden. Love. And it was the lack of that love that put him on the outside. Because he'd become one with the woman. And he found an equality in the woman when he met her, because he said, "You are bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and I'm going to call you woman because you were taken out of me." You see, he was still asleep. But listen, when that woman ate the fruit of that tree, she brought that fruit into Adam. Now, there was a difference between the woman and Adam. The woman was deceived by the serpent, which is the carnal mind. So she ate the fruit thinking, believing that she would not die. But God had already said, "The day you eat that fruit, you will die." Well, now Adam knew that, but because Adam was Christ, he was the manifestation of Christ. He came out of Christ, therefore he was Christ. You understand that? You see, Adam was in Christ. The first man, God said, "I want you to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth." So he did. And that's in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. When the Lord God, he was the Christ Jesus, the Lord God, he gets some dust and brings it together and starts to form a body. The body is not the person. Your body is not you. Your body doesn't even belong to you. It belongs to the Christ who actually lives in you. That body was designed for the Christ so that he would have a form of expression on the earth. But see, we haven't given him that option. We haven't given it. We've got the hands. Jesus Christ, he touched the leper, and the leper was healed. Did he need hands to do that? Of course he did. That's why the Father gave him a body. But since he returned back into the spirit world, who has he got down here now to heal the leper? He's got us. And this body belongs to him. These hands are the hands of the Christ. This mouth is the mouthpiece of the Christ. If God wants to say something, I just say, "Father, you just tell me. This is your voice, and I will give voice to what you say." And that's what I do. As a matter of fact, the night before I came here, I was awake quite a part of that night because Father was telling me what I was to share down in South Africa. You see, I don't just write sermons. I don't just think of something to say. I'm asking the Father, and he tells me. So this becomes, as much as I can do, it becomes his mouth to say. This is what you have to do, beloved. Listen, we've got to get away from this idea that God just calls specific people to become a preacher. I want to tell you, every one of you, you were, before you were born, God sanctified you. What does that mean? He set you apart for himself and for the purposes of God. That was you. He set you apart. Secondly, he ordained you. You want an ordination to be a preacher? You've got it because you got that ordination before you were born.
Hallelujah.
Every one of you.
Yes. Glory, Father.
43 years ago, I resigned from the church. I resigned from the pastorate and whatever you call it, where you have a man that gives you a signature which allows you to go and preach and says, I ordain you. Well, I've been ordained of God, not of anybody else. I don't have another man's name behind me. That's all.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, this is what we've got to come to. Unfortunately, the church hasn't really done that. I'm not just talking about your church. I'm talking about the churches in the world. And some of those big congregations, they listen to that same man day Sunday after Sunday after Sunday for years till they get old and retire. The men, the people, of course, I'm talking about. And then somebody else has to take over. Well, what about all the rest? What about the 35,000 that there are back over there on the other side of the States? What do? They come and sit and listen. You think that's what God intended? I don't think so. God never intended you to do that. God intended that every one of you would come here on Sunday morning with something to say.
Amen.
That God has given you.
Yes, hallelujah.
And then you've got a pastor. He's a shepherd.
Amen.
And he's there to feed the sheep. But if you come along with a couple of bagfuls of feed as well, hey, he mightn't have to do too much because the sheep will be fed anyway.
Yes.
That's the way it is.
Yes.
So there's a lot of things that have to be adjusted in God. So the Bible says in, I'm sorry, I missed this, but go back to Matthew chapter 22. I got sidetracked. In Matthew chapter 22. Verse 2, and the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the same as the kingdom of the earth. One is built and formed upon the same blueprint. And the king said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Why? Because the female is missing. Come on. The female is missing. Christ is looking for his bride. She's missing. Why? Because we think that the woman has been taken out of the man. And now you tell us, well, as a woman, we really, God sees us as Christ, so the same as the man. But according to Genesis 1:27, God created the man, male and female. So the first thing, and I told you this yesterday, let me tell you again, the woman was never taken out of Adam. Never. It's an impossibility. You cannot divide spirit. Spirit is male and female functioning together as one.
Yes.
You got it?
Yes.
So therefore, Adam, the Lord God could not take the female out of Adam. He was in a deep sleep when the Lord God took that woman, or was supposed to have taken the woman out of him. He wasn't conscious. He just believed that. He believed it because he saw that woman coming toward him. And I suppose perhaps somewhere down the line, because just before that, the Lord God had brought to him all of the animals and said, I want you to name them, which is to give them their character. So he named all of the animals. He gave them their character. And then he must have probably had a look and said, see, there's the male and there's the female there. All the animals had male and female. All of the birds, all of the fish, I mean, they've got male and female. But he doesn't have male and female, you see. But I'm not sure that's true of Adam. I think that in his right mind, he understood that man is male and female functioning as one. But see, under the deep sleep, he is unconscious. That means he's got no consciousness of what's happening. And when he sees that woman, he said, you're bone of my bones, you're flesh of my flesh. I'm going to call you woman because you were taken out of me. Wow. So now the woman is out of the man. And for this cause, this is God speaking now, for this cause a man will leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. One flesh. Well, what's wrong? The king hasn't got his bride. What's wrong? Well, the bride's been taken out of the man. So it says here, he said to his servants, go and call all the people that are on the list to become part of this wedding ceremony. So the servants go out with all of the invitations, says, okay, everything's ready. The wedding is all set up, the supper and everything. I want you to come. They came back to the king and said, sir, nobody wants to come. Of course, that was Israel. They didn't want to come. They said, well, you know, we'd love to come. We think it's wonderful that the king should invite us and all that, but, you know, we're just a bit busy today and maybe another time, you know. Israel said, no, we're not interested. What are we saying today? The king is looking for a wife for his son, because that's got to be fixed. Because until the woman is put back where she belongs, you and I are not going to be able to function as the Christ of God. You understand that? Until the woman is put back where she belongs, that I must be male and female functioning together as one. Otherwise, I cannot function as the Christ, because Christ is male and female. Okay, so this is like a parable here. This is the marriage supper of the king here. And so, what happens? Well, the servants come back and said, look, we can't get anybody. They're all too busy. They can't come. So what does the king say? He says, I'll tell you what to do. I want you to go out again now. Forget about the invitations. I want you to go into all the streets, all the byways and the highways and every other way there is out there, and everybody you find, everybody, I don't care whether they're on a stretcher, whether they're in a wheelchair, I don't care what they're doing, get a hold of us. Tell them the king's ready, the wedding is ready, and come. Well, they fill the place. They fill the place. There was only one person there that was a bit of a problem, and he didn't have the right suit on. Because in those days, of course, the king, the father, was obviously responsible to clothe everybody, or at least to have a wrap or whatever it was they put on. So they went out, and every person they found, they said, come, the king's ready, this wedding's got to go on, he's got to find his wife, he's got to be married. And so they came. And what does it say? He says, and they, where are we?
Verse
11. Verse 8. He said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they were bidden, were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as you can find, bid to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all that they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Are you ready for the king? The wedding? Are you ready for the wedding? Because you women have got to find yourself back where you belong. We're all the woman now. Not just you women, but us men. We are all the woman. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. When Adam ate the fruit with that woman, he became one with her. We all became the woman in the sight of God. Every one of us. So what does it mean? It means one day when I was just sitting there, here's my wife out there, she's sitting over there, you see. And I looked and I looked and I said, Lord, what am I going to do with that woman out there? You know, if I've got to, we've got to find a wife for the king here, what am I going to do? He said, just put her back where she belongs. I said, yeah, well, elaborate on that, you know, because I'm slow, you know. What do you really mean? He said, I want you to put her back where she belongs. She belongs in here because she is the wife of the Christ. Not of Des Walter. I'm not the male part of the Spirit in here. The male part of the Spirit in me is Christ. You hearing this? That's the male part of the Christ, of the Spirit, is Christ. All it needs in here is the woman. So I told my wife, there's a wedding on here, and you've been chosen to be the wife of the Christ. And that's where I put her. And I treat her accordingly. And that has made a wonderful difference, a big difference. And yet we've had a great marriage. We haven't had all the problems a lot of people have had. We celebrated our 60th anniversary just last year. 60 years marriage. It's not a record, but it's a good average. And so I said to my wife, I said, I want you to know that I will love you even as the Christ loves you, because you belong to him. I'm married to the bride, but of course I'm part of the bride too. I'm part of the bride because all of us men became the woman. Oh Lord, help us today. Are you hearing this? Because this is so important. You see, the Christ that's in me cannot function while there's a part of him missing. Because if the woman was taken out of the man in Genesis 2:21, then he hasn't got his bride. But the Apostle Paul said, I have bequeathed you to one husband. That's what he said. I've bequeathed you all to one husband, and that husband is Christ. So my wife, in a true sense, doesn't just belong to me. She belongs to the Christ. She belongs to the Christ. But we were one flesh anyway. And so we became a part of that Christ together. Now, I'm not going to elaborate on that. But today, God is looking for people in whom the Christ has found that other part of him, which will allow him to become fruitful and to bring forth what? Oh, that's interesting. Abram, count the stars.
Yes.
Can't, Lord. So shall your seed be as the stars of heaven. What does that mean? It means that when the bride finds her place back in here, the Christ is now complete and he can reproduce. And he is the Christ. And according to Galatians 3 verse 16, the Christ is the seed of God. So now, if he's going to procreate, and he can because the woman has been restored to her husband, now he can reproduce. And what's he going to reproduce? He's going to reproduce Christ. And when Christ was brought into being, did you understand that all of mankind was in him? Was in Christ? All of mankind on this planet were in that Christ. If this Christ in me gives birth, he can only birth Christ himself.
Yes.
He can birth Christ. But in that Christ that you can birth in you is all of humanity. I have it in my heart that this is part of the process of God that he had as a plan before we were even created. This is what God planned. He planned that you would make the Christ complete so that he could function as Christ. And part of his function was, in Genesis 1:28, be fruitful, he was told, and multiply and fill the earth. But he couldn't do it until he had the bride back there. Because, see, she had been taken out. We've all believed it because we all went out, left our father and mother, and we went out to find a wife. And I remember thinking to myself, yes, I'm complete now. I've got my wife, you see. I'm male and female again. It wasn't quite like that. And it took me quite a number of years before I understood. Today, beloved, that Christ is waiting to be activated in you. that Christ is waiting to become an expression of himself, but using your body. These hands are his hands. This is his mouth. These are his feet. He's ready to move out into the world and to begin to express himself so that the world will know you have come from God. May God help you today. May he bless us all, and myself included, that we might become that vessel in the hand of the Lord that's going to turn this world around. It's going to cause people to start to follow you like they followed Jesus. 5,000 walked out into the desert following Jesus Christ. Why? Because they knew he came from God. They saw what he could do. Beloved, there's going to be people following you when you begin to allow that Christ to function. The church has always claimed we are the body of Christ. But I'm telling you that every single one of you, your body is the body of the Christ. And if those bodies begin to function, and then those bodies came to come together, of course then you have the church, which is what will happen. But in then, at that time, when we all begin to flow together, and I just don't mean these people here today, but I'm talking about the people in this world, when they begin to understand this and they begin to function as the Christ, I'm telling you, there'll only be one body, because everybody on this planet will become the Christ. That's the reality. Every person on this planet will become the Christ. Why? Because the Bible tells me the day is coming when every knee will bow to Jesus Christ and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What does that mean? It means that they've all got the story now. Everybody. The whole of mankind. But it's going, part of this is tied up with our birthing of the Christ. When the Christ finds his female, the female part of the Spirit, then he can do what he wants to do. May God bless you, encourage you, and help you. Can we just pray together? Father, I lift this people into your presence, that in your presence today, Father, there would be a divine touch from the Almighty, that you would reach out your hand, Father, and just touch every person in this building today. Father, I'm asking that the Spirit of the living God might today find that part that seems to have been missing, the female, Father. And we have discovered that we are those females. Lord, let that union take place, that the Christ of God might find a body through which he can function, and through which the world will know that Christ indeed has come to us to touch this world, to touch the sick and the dying and even those that are dead, that they might be raised up, Father, into that newness of life in Christ Jesus. Father, let the blessing of Almighty God rest and abide and remain upon each one. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.